Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer. In-store or on Menards.com. Save big and ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You never really know someone until you find out what they've buried. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy. It is on Peacock now. If you've not had a chance to watch it and you're following the case, go check it out. There are so many new allegations that are being made in it. Allegations that I don't think anybody really saw coming or at least expected to have said out loud on Peacock to a national audience without the possibility of getting sued? Or is that part of the play in this documentary? Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Jennifer, I want to talk about the doc, and I'm going to start with some of the allegations being made in it, because murder is brought up in this. It's beyond the sex allegations, beyond the trafficking, beyond all that horrible stuff. Al B. Shore, the singer who once worked with Diddy at Uptown Records, is where he met Kim Porter, where Diddy met Kim Porter, and where the relationships Kim transferred from Al B. Shore over to Diddy, and things kind of went downhill. Kim Porter eventually dies in 2018 of lobar pneumonia. The odds of dying of lobar pneumonia at 47 years old and an otherwise healthy person, not very high. Raised some eyebrows back then. Some people saying, I don't know if this is natural. But it really has not had a whole strong looking into. Why? Well, because I don't think Diddy really wanted anybody to look into it very strongly. Now they are, and Al B. Shore is saying in that doc straight up that Kim Porter was murdered. Allegedly. What's your thoughts on an allegation like that being made so publicly on such a huge scale without any criminal investigation going on right now? There may be something civil, which he alludes to. What's your thoughts?
Well, This is so interesting to me because I have to tell you, when Diddy was first arrested, an individual was reaching out to me, DMing me, text messaging me, emailing me, saying Diddy's responsible for Kim Porter's murder or death, right? Not murder, death. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that's stiff, and asked them what their evidence was. Mm-hmm. And kind of like in this situation, it doesn't make a lot of sense for a 47-year-old to die of pneumonia, especially with modern medicine, getting her to the hospital timely and you know, caring for the person.
Sure.
So it has some confusing elements, but geez, I don't think they're any closer to proving something like that than they were in 2018. I mean, they would have to exhume her body. They would have to do really a deep dive. But is Albie Schur's main reason for saying this really the motive is there as opposed to the evidence?
I don't know, because Albie Schur also went through a very large health scare, coincidentally around the same time he started talking about Diddy, almost died. Like, literally, they were ready to transfer him to hospice care. They thought it was done. He miraculously pulled through it and survived. And that is where he is now speaking out. He's also alluding in the documentary that that was not a natural illness, that maybe something happened. Maybe somebody got to him. Maybe somebody poisoned him or something to cause that level of an organ shutdown in his body where he was almost going to die. It's suspicious no matter how you look at it. Even more suspicious when we've learned now what we know, the allegations against Diddy, and really, you know, seemingly going to any length he needs to for his own well-being, including shutting people up, is what it starts to appear to be.
Well, he has a lot of people to shut up because now the cat's out of the bag and there's so many people yakking. I don't think there's anything beyond Diddy's capability, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I just don't know where the proof is going to come from. As an example, Albie Schur, what kind of labs were done on him? Was there anything to prove that there were any poisons or toxins mm-hmm. that would be unnatural in him? As far as I understand, that was done, but didn't prove anything. Again, you have to search those out specifically. You know, your labs just aren't going to search for arsenic or something like that. It without being asked to. So I'm wondering what, if anything, he did, because I don't think that's been made clear.
I don't think they knew at the time, because I don't necessarily think at the moment anyone was going and thinking, oh, someone's trying to take a hit on Albie Schur. They were thinking about it night and day, but I don't think anybody was trying to do it. Anyway,
that's a great song.
10 people got that reference right there.
I love it.
But it and just with Kim Porter too, I think a lot of people looked at it as a very horrible thing that was happening at the time, but people do die that are otherwise healthy. It's a small percentage, but it does happen. And at that moment, I think a lot of people were thinking, what a horrible tragedy. My gosh, she was taken too young. Not Diddy's trying to shut her up. Because at that moment in time, we didn't think of Diddy as we think of him now, at least the level that we think of him now. So you kind of lose that window probably to test some of those things officially. Certainly in Albie Schur, he's still alive. But Kim Porter, I think, is a different possibility there. Her body supposedly still exists. She was buried. My only question there is who's in the casket, especially if someone is trying to cover up something, if they were trying to cover her up from speaking out against him. I would think if you're going to that length, you'd also go to the same length of making sure that that body's not going to be exhumed at some point in time and toxicology is going to be attempted on it. So let's hope she's in the casket. If she is, that's another big thing. What is going to show up? She died in 2018. Some things can still be gleaned. Other things, you know, there's ways of killing people without anybody really knowing about it. And you're never going to find out if you don't catch it at that moment.
Well, I think if he were responsible, and I don't know who exactly made the arrangements post-mortem, but I would think he would have tried to get her cremated. That then causes, I mean, there's nothing you can do at that point, but maybe her family had more of a decision making in that, and he didn't want to, you know, cause any alarms. But back to your point, I think the body could show information, and I really think they're going to be looking back at all of this. Remember, it was charged as a RICO, and RICO's tentacles are never ending. I mean, they can keep going back because it's only your most recent wrongdoing, and that's been very recently. So because of that, they're going to be able to go back, and I'm sure they are looking.
With that allegation being made, and Al Bishore alluded to it in the documentary, that there are legal proceedings, as he described them, going on. There's no civil suit out there about death. There's no criminal investigation, at least publicly known, about the death of Kim Porter at this time. You have just one person out there saying this. You have a lot of friends questioning it as well. Are the feds going to take a serious look at those allegations? They obviously already have, you know, their pot of gold with all of the sex allegations that will take him down, allegedly, usually, here in God knows how long. But are they going to add that to the pile of stuff if there's not strong enough evidence other than, you know, friends and family saying this is kind of suspicious?
I think they'll look at it. I really do. There's almost no downside to looking at it. I mean, I will say they're drinking from a fire hose even now with all the evidence they have to go over. But nevertheless, if he's responsible for any murder, and don't forget that attempted murder at the nightclub where J-Lo was there, I think that's another. I will be surprised if we don't see a superseding indictment, including many other charges and possibly including the attempted murder. And you never know with this either. So I can't think of a case that I worked where we charged either a RICO or a very complicated conspiracy that we didn't have multiple superseding indictments, you call them, where we actually added and added and added multiple superseding indictments, because you don't stop investigating necessarily the information that you have before you, you're going to continue to look at. So I look for a superseding indictment in this one.
Let me ask you about that nightclub shooting going way back to the late 90s with Jennifer Lopez in that club, a woman being shot. Shine was the artist that took the fall for Diddy. The allegations are that he's the one who pulled the trigger. He's come out now. I mean, he's actually in politics in a different country now. But has come out in that new documentary saying, it was not me. I took the fall for Diddy. The woman who was shot flat out has said, it was Diddy that had the gun. I had the bullet that came straight at my face. I know who pulled the trigger. But Diddy was found innocent of those charges back then when it did go to court. I know this is a RICO case. How much of that can get brought into this when he's already been tried? Or would this be considered new evidence where you have multiple people now making these claims differently than they did 20 some years ago?
Well, I think the problem is you can't, if it's the same evidence, in other words, you can't just have somebody change their testimony and necessarily have that not fall into a double jeopardy situation. But it really depends on the charge. If he was never, ever charged federally for that crime. He was never even looked at federally in those days. So this is a whole different crime that he would be charged with because it's under federal statute. To show you an analogy is Luigi Mangione. Same exact set of facts, but charged under federal law and charged under New York law.
So could there be federal charges going back to that case, even though he's been charged in a state level already for the nightclub shooting back then?
I think there could be under a RICO, under basically just what we call their crimes that constitute that you have to have. You have to have at least two crimes that come under the RICO statute to even charge RICO. So I could see them filling in with another crime, which would be this attempted murder under their RICO statute. So I could see something like that. It's very interesting because, as you said, the person shot has said multiple times, I've seen her interviews, he shot me in the face. Mm-hmm. That's, it's unequivocal what she says.
Yeah. And somehow he got away with it. At least that's how it appears to have happened. There's so many things that are brought up in this documentary. There's one other point I want to bring out and get your opinion on here. We hear in a short piece of the documentary about his childhood. We hear from one of his childhood mm-hmm. friends who literally grew up in the same house as he did in a duplex. And they talk about parties. They talk about the parties that mom was having, Janice Combs, who's still standing by her son's side. We saw the two of them kind of, you know, almost mourning together, if you will, after the invasions of his home from federal authorities and that little window that he had where he was still a free man. The allegations are Janice Combs was having sex parties back in the 1990s and 80s where he was growing up, and that this was kind of a normal thing. Allegations that mom even had a little group of girls that she would bring in for her son and his friends to do what they would with. I mean, this is like a normal thing. And at that age, if you're a 15-year-old, 16-year-old boy, you're going to think that's the best damn thing in the world. You just will. Not realizing the repercussions, not realizing how mentally damaging that is to someone at that age to normalize that sort of behavior. But it certainly makes a lot of sense seeing how he then treated women going forward the rest of life. What's your thoughts on those allegations? It certainly makes a recipe for the sauce.
Well, I always say, at least in the cases that I've worked, when you have these criminals that do these egregious crimes, they typically start off so beautiful as beautiful little children, just like all other children begin. And you can look usually no farther than the tree that dropped them to see the environment they were in, how they were socialized, what they saw before them. So I think that there seems to be a lot of truth in what's being put out there. It's something that I personally witnessed working gangs for years and years and years. These little ones are like any other little one, and unfortunately they're in environments where they don't have a chance to even have any idea what it's like to be normal. So I'm not surprised at all. It makes a lot of sense to me, and I think it's very desensitizing. And on top of that, like you said, you know, when you start out like that, if it's true at 15 years old, of course you're going to continue in that behavior because it's, you know, probably very gratifying.
Yeah. Especially when you are kind of an outcast, which it seemed he was. He used kind of the money that he had from mom. He was known as kind of the rich kid in the neighborhood back then to try and shine brighter than others, and always kind of struggled with that, but also had incredible ambition to pull himself out of that, and incredible talent too when it came to making music. He went from that childhood straight into pretty much fame and worked his way up there, never really having a moment to kind of gather himself as an adult, as I think most of us have when we leave our parents' home and get into adulthood. It's kind of a reckoning time, kind of a who am I moment. But he went straight from the excesses that were allowed to him at such a young age and then just added more money to it with more possibilities of what he could do. It makes more sense now where you see his defiance to all of these charges and all of these accusations, where he says he did nothing wrong, because it kind of makes you wonder, does he really think he did nothing wrong? The same way like Lori Vallow thinks she did nothing wrong. The same way Robert Tellis thinks he did nothing wrong. They're so ingrained in this other way of thinking, and they've been so conditioned that do they see the other side the way that the rest of us do, or at least have the ability to?
All right, I have to stop you there, Tony.
I know.
I'm giving him a little bit of leeway, you know, if he was raised around that, like this documentary is putting forth. But let's be serious. He made all these videos. He told people, you know, they couldn't talk about anything. He paid people off. People had to sign NDAs. If you really think you're living your life justly and all of this is just normal, you don't take all those precautions. So big exclamation mark, no. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew it was wrong. And I think we're going to see even deeper, slimier underbelly of what Diddy was capable of.
Well, we now have the allegations of murder in there. On top of everything else, I don't know what we're going to get next. I don't think I want to know what we're going to get next, because I don't know where else this can go. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse, and a lot of people have stories to tell. I found it shocking that Al B. Shore came out on television making that accusation of murder. I mean, and for NBC to go, that's cool, put that in the show. I mean, that's kind of a liability to go and make that sort of statement on camera, on live television. Yes, the word allegedly was used in there, but could Al B. Shore be trying to bait him into a lawsuit, trying to bait him in? Yeah, go ahead, sue me for that allegation. We'll see what Discovery finds about this allegation. Because if Diddy knows there is something there, the last thing he wants is any sort of legal look into what could be waiting behind door number three.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is Diddy is paddling upstream. He and his defense team, there are so many lawsuits and so many things, you know, people lurking behind every bush. Really, we're into the hundreds, I think.
Yeah.
Of you know, allegations and people. I mean, we're talking decades here. So it makes some sense. And now that this RICO can stretch clear back, which they were brilliant to charge that way, it's just going to keep coming. And I don't think he'll sue Al B. Shore. He needs to try to protect himself and his assets at this point. $1 billion is a lot of money, but you're going to see it all sliding away quickly because everybody else is still spending it.
It will be the fastest billion ever spent. Really, I mean, it really will.
Like the Menendez brothers, you know, yes. Everybody asks, where's the Menendez buddy? Now, it was 30 years ago, but that money was gone within years, long gone.
Exactly.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64,000.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it. That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Tired of scrolling through endless sitter profiles on other sites only to get ghosted? For over 20 years, Sitter City has been the go-to resource for parents who want a more personalized, reliable way to find trustworthy sitters and nannies. While other sites flood you with options, Sitter City focuses on bringing you high-quality matches that are the right fit for your family every time. With SitterCity.com, you can find full-time, part-time, or occasional care that meets your specific needs. Every caregiver is ID verified and profiles include real parent reviews, background checks, and specialized experience, so you can spend less time searching and more time doing what matters most, spending time with your family. And did you know that many employers include SitterCity as part of their benefits package? In a few clicks, find out if you can get SitterCity free. Getting started has never been easier. Take the guesswork out of finding care so you can breathe easier knowing your kids are in good hands. Visit SitterCity.com today to get the care you need.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.